Good morning. Please be seated and join with me in prayer, please. Father, you alone are righteous. You alone are just. But Father, you are also merciful. And in your mercy and your love for us, you provided a perfect sacrifice for us to be able to be reconciled to you. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you that we are here, Father. We thank you for this church and the love that you've placed in our hearts for each other and for you. And Lord, as we prepare ourselves for communion now, we ask that you would just help us to have a fresh understanding of the gospel, a fresh appreciation for it, and just give us that love that we have for you that you've placed in us, Lord. Amen. This is the time in our service where we prepare ourselves to take communion and remember the death of Jesus, who paid the penalty for our sins so that we could be reconciled to God. On the night before Jesus was crucified, he instituted what we've come to call the Lord's Supper, or communion. He commanded that a piece of bread be eaten and a drink from fruit of the vine be taken as a continuing remembrance of his death and our deliverance. In just a few minutes, we're going to pass trays down the aisles that have little pieces of bread and little cups of juice. This bread is a symbol of his body, which was crushed under the wrath of God. And the juice is a symbol of his blood, which was poured out to seal this new covenant. It's because of man's rebellion against God that this sacrifice was necessary. Man was created to bring glory to God and to be righteous like God. But because of sin, he is incapable of doing so. Man is unrighteous, and because God is just, God must condemn man for his unrighteousness. And the penalty is an eternity in hell. In order to escape condemnation, in order to be reconciled to God, in order to glorify God, man needs righteousness, and yet he has none. And there's no way he can earn it. There's nothing he can do to make that up. But there is hope. God has provided a way for man to be saved. Please turn with me to the book of Romans so that we can remind ourselves of the righteousness of God that brings us hope in Christ. We'll be looking at Romans 3, verse 21. That's Romans 3, verse 21, and we'll be reading up to the first half of verse 25. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. In these verses, we see how the righteousness of God graciously justifies wicked men at the expense of Jesus. The righteousness of God graciously justifies wicked men at the expense of Jesus. Notice something simple but very meaningful in verse 21, that righteousness is of God. This small, simple word "of" shows us that righteousness is only of God. In other words, it belongs to God. It originates with God. It comes from God. This also means that righteousness is not of men. Man does not possess it. He has none. We're told this in the second half of verse 22 and into verse 23. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But what is the purpose of God manifesting this righteousness? What does it do? The righteousness of God graciously justifies wicked men. It graciously justifies wicked men. Look at the very beginning of verse 24. It says, being justified. So those who believe in the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus are being justified. But what exactly is this word, justified? To be justified is to be vindicated, freed, or acquitted. This is God pronouncing in his heavenly courtroom that the man who trusts in Christ is now going to be regarded as righteous. And we're given this gift of justification as a gift. Look again at verse 24. Being justified as a gift by his grace. In other words, it's only because God is a gracious God that he chose to give us this gift of justification. It wasn't because of anything man did. He didn't owe man anything other than condemnation for his sin. So then justification comes to us as a gracious gift, but still, it isn't free. It comes at a great and terrible cost, a cost that we could never, ever pay. And Jesus Christ paid that cost. The righteousness of God graciously justifies wicked men at the expense of Jesus. At the expense of Jesus. According to verse 24, Christians are being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption, which is in Christ Jesus. So our justification comes through a redemption. Redemption is the purchasing and releasing of something by the payment of a ransom. This implies that we were captives to sin, in need of liberation. Sin demands a payment, so Jesus Himself was our ransom. God's grace really did come at a great price. Let's look even closer at how expensive that price really was. Take a look at verse 25, and keep in mind as we read that we're still talking about Jesus here, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. To propitiate means to satisfy or to appease. Jesus was that propitiation. He was the appeasement, the payment, the satisfaction for the wrath of God that was intended for us. Notice that it says this propitiation was in His blood. Let's never forget this one point here, that our justification was paid for in blood. Let's never just casually read over this. Somebody literally died because of us, to save us because of our wicked sins. And not just anybody, but the Son of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So Christian, please make sure that you honor Him today in the way that you take communion. This is a very serious matter, not to be taken lightly. Examine yourself and repent of any known sin that you may be harboring in your heart. There may be some of us here right now who are feeling a little discouraged in our fight against sin. Maybe you had a bad week, or possibly you're caught up in some particular sin right now. But remember that we never were worthy, and we're still not worthy outside of the atoning work of Christ. Remember that the death of Christ was sufficient to pay for your sins. Ask for cleansing. Run back to Jesus asking for forgiveness, and then join in communion. But if you still refuse to repent, then you need to refrain from taking communion so that you will not be guilty of sin against the body and blood of the Lord. To not repent and take communion is the equivalent of mocking the death of Jesus. So know that if you do not repent and you do not join in communion, that you are likely in a very serious place. If that's the case, then please come and speak with an elder afterwards. For those of you who are not Christians, for those of you who would say Jesus is not your master, if in this very short time you have come to see your sin before a holy God and you desire forgiveness, then renounce your sin. Turn from your sin and believe. Call out to God to forgive you through the sacrifice of Christ. Trust that Jesus bore God's wrath on the cross as your substitute. If you will do this, then please join with us in celebrating through communion. If not, then we please ask that you refrain and pass the tray on when it comes to you. But please don't let that be the end of it. Please consider these things at greater length. If there's anything that I've said that's unclear, please come and look for me after the service. I'd be very grateful for the opportunity to speak with you. Or ask the person next to you, or ask them to introduce you to one of our elders. These men are the pastors of our church. Any Christian here would love to speak with you about Christ, our King. The men will now come forward to pass out the trays. When you have prepared your heart before the Lord, please take communion on your own.